It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellas with monkey sounds in there and called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I love good Tuesday. It's the worst day of the week, but it's a great Tuesday. Anytime it's summer Tuesdays. We got the Olympics going on. Team USA starts at 12:30.
Indeed.
Who do they play? Brazil.
Brazil.
Brazil. Pray for my brother.
Ah, that's right.
Let's pray for my brother today. Mm. My brother is married to a very proud Brazilian.
Mm. Is there anything other than a proud Brazilian?
No. Yeah, no. And I love my sister-in-law, Gamel. But my brother, he will be on the bad side if America wins today.
I mean, because they're going to.
She has the dual citizenship. We just need to start mixing this up to get it's okay. You're in a win-win situation in this game, but my brother's in a win-lose situation in this game right now because
the stakes are there.
The stakes are very, very, very high. And so let's all keep my brother in our thoughts and prayers because, look, we all like watching our home countries win. We love it. We love it. Can't take these L's.
Yeah, no. I mean, I would preemptively.
What's the line on this?
Oh, it's probably a lot.
26 and a half.
26.
I say it's probably a lot. This is not Brazil's best team.
Who's best? Is Leandro Barbosa still playing?
Honestly, I think he actually is on this team.
No, he's not. No way.
Because, what's his name? Scola just retired for Argentina. He was like 46.
No way. No way.
Yeah. Oh, he was on all of the gear. Like, he was on all of the gear. It was incredible. Like, he looked better, 3 years ago than he looked while he was playing.
Okay.
Well, it was good. Oh, my God.
Gui Santos.
Oh, Gui Santos. That's right.
Yeah. Mezina Pereira.
Bruno Caboclo, Raul Neto.
Oh, hey, there we go.
Cristiano Felicio.
Okay, there's two guys I recommend.
And Marcelo Huertas.
All right. Hey.
So they've got, one, two, three, four, five? Six, Didi Lozada.
Oh, Didi Lozada. Yeah. I liked watching him play.
When he was at Hoop Summit, his offense was atrocious.
Yeah.
But defensively, in the world team practices, he gave everyone fits. I mean, just absolute nightmare fuel defensively. And I was like, well, if he can figure out how to handle the ball,
yeah,
like he can maybe just be point guard Tony Allen.
A lot of these dudes you look at and you're like, they play in Serbia, Granada, Brazil.
A lot of Spain.
What's the ACB? Japan, ACB, Bundesliga. What country would you want to go to if you did not play in the NBA?
Spain.
Which country would you want to play in?
Spain, Greece, Japan, probably in that order.
I think I just may flip Spain and Greece.
The only thing is Spain and Greece is that you can get access to things even more in Spain.
Yeah.
Because Greece, it can get a little, like, look, if you're playing like Olympiacos, like if you're like Mario Hezonja and you go back there and you make $7 million a year in a 25-year-old single man in Greece, where when he got there, the exchange rate was crazy.
Yeah.
So he was living like a king. That exchange rate's tough right now.
It is.
The exchange rate is tough. That euro, it's smacking right now.
Here's the thing that FIBA has actually gotten right is that they're starting to make sure that these companies, they're making sure that these company or these franchises pay their players now.
Yeah,
because I had buddies that would go over and they'd play over in Europe and mm-hmm. they'd be like, don't know if the check's gonna come.
Oh yeah, I got a buddy who the team folded like overnight.
Yeah,
he was like. He was in Poland.
Yeah.
Playing in the top Polish league over there, the Polish A League.
Tough to get back.
Which plays like in the Euro League.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like they were a good Euro League team and all of a sudden
gone.
In the middle of the night, gone.
Yeah. You're gone. You don't know. Like you're like, I hope I get paid. They're like I remember my buddy Shay, he went over and he played in Amsterdam and he was like when he left, he's like, yeah, they're gonna hook up, you know. Flat for me and another guy. Place we get a car. Mm-hmm. We get all this. Shay is 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
And
they're not designed for them over there.
When I saw the picture of the car that he got, it was like a smart car.
It's a clown car.
Mm-hmm. So these two dudes, just these massive human beings just shoved into these little cars. It was great. It was fantastic. So I think he rode bikes a lot. Because he was in Amsterdam.
Yeah, that's the mean.
You know, you can ride bikes.
Well, I mean, you can't fit normal cars on their roads in so many places up there. Like, it's crazy. It's just this not designed for that. But yeah. You go say
little teeny tiny.
He told me stories
car.
About their Poland. He played in Luxembourg.
Mm.
Where else did he play?
Don't they use our system of measurement? Aren't they like the one other country?
Luxembourg, yeah. They're like quasi. They don't use all metrics for everything.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I think I like.
Are you
them
talking
more
about
than the
Luxembourg?
Yeah. Yes. Not Poland. I'm well aware of their metric system.
I've got to be quite honest. My knowledge of Luxembourg very limited. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's small.
It is small. I do know that.
One of the places that has actually been safe to play, and people probably like, oh, I don't know, is Serbia. Because they love their basketball so much.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, that's not an issue there.
I'll tell you what. It's crazy when you watch those, like, Slovenian and Serbian and Czech league highlights
where
and stuff.
Fires in the stands?
Well, yeah. I was just going to say, they treat it like you're in an outdoor stadium. Yeah. They're lighting road flares in the stands. Yeah. You're like, What are you going to do with that?
It's like a Rammstein concert in there.
Could you imagine going to Moda Center and instead of the thunder sticks, they're just said with road flares to start the second half?
I mean, I wouldn't be against it.
Like, what
and
you,
it's so loud.
You just got to like stop the game. Be like, guys, sorry, guys, we got to wait to the sulfur smoke clears until we can shoot free throws.
Yeah, it is when like Luka and Jokic and Nurk, those guys, they talk about how like, there's no playoff atmosphere that's going to bother us. They're not joking.
No.
They get in these arenas like 14,000 people where like they put fences up.
I'm not going to lie. I think that NBA arenas have lost that
juice.
That juice a little bit. Like the daunting arenas that you would go into, and that like Portland was one of them where guys
Portland
would say
deafen you.
Portland was one. Sacramento with the cowbells was another. Salt Lake City, Utah, because those Mormons apparently they don't swear, but they just say every other awful thing to you.
Hurl racist epithets at you.
Yeah, that has happened
more than a few times.
That has happened, but we don't have like the. What is the most raucous arena to go to now in the NBA? Yeah, it's OKC.
It's OKC. And part of it is, yes, they are loud. Part of it is they pump the noise in.
Oh, do they? Yeah. We're going Minnesota Vikings Metrodome conspiracies, huh?
Yeah, no, OKC and San Antonio pump more noise into their arenas than anybody else in the league.
Wow.
It's not close.
Wow.
Like, it's bad.
All right.
But San Antonio is the worst. Like, they pump it in like as a monster truck rally.
And the NBA is okay with that?
Oh, yeah.
They're fine with it, mm-hmm. unlike the NFL?
Yeah.
The NFL's like...
The only time it matters is, like, legally, like, what home teams are allowed and not allowed to do, like, during the playoffs. That's when it matters. But if it's a playoff game, it's going to be loud. So yeah. you don't need to do it.
I think the NBA has lost its steam a little bit. NFL stadiums are kind of like that now, too. They're becoming more and more sanitized.
Yeah.
College football, you still got it. You know, the low-key one that is actually, it's really fun. I love watching college baseball. You go to SEC country.
Oh, Tennessee.
Tennessee's not, they're okay. Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah.
LSU. They are brutal to fans. And I think we need that. Like, Major League Baseball, I don't know why, but, like, you go and you watch, like, Japanese leagues or the Korean baseball leagues.
Oh, it's an event.
Yeah. They got cheerleaders. Yeah. They got noisemakers. They got all that. Baseball here, it's just like, we just want 3 hours to just relax.
Yankee Stadium's probably the only one that isn't.
The Bank does a good job in Philadelphia.
In Philly. Playoff baseball is a little bit different.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about regular season. You get the bleacher creatures and the callbacks. Yeah. Like, there's like more engagement.
Yeah, you get a little bit of that. But it's so many games.
Yeah.
The games that matter, though, are so fun. Playoff baseball is really fun to watch because you get that energy. You get that buzz. I will still say the best experience I've ever had in a stadium was Game 3 of the World Series in Houston, Dodgers, Astros, and 2017. It was like a five-hour college football game.
Yeah.
Everybody was standing. Mm-hmm. Everybody was yelling. It was like the energy and the buzz in the stadium.
Trash cans were banging.
You couldn't hear him in that game. Simone Biles throughout the first pitch.
Is that where she did like the crazy flip?
No. No.
How many first pitches has she thrown out?
They brought out...
She's from down there.
I think it was Simone Biles and I think J.J. Watt were both out there for that one.
Two very like-sized humans.
Not at all. Mm. It looked like Master Blaster from Mad Max, Return to Thunderdome. It was... But that environment, it was just like, dude, if you can bottle this, baseball would be so much more popular. Much more popular. But it's just a long season, too many games. Like, you can't keep that energy up. You can't do that for, you know, 81 home dates out of the year.
No.
Can't do it anymore.
No, and the basketball side of things, and I think this is probably pertains to football, too, is, like, the personal seat licensing and how much more money is coming into games from the business sector as opposed to your average everyday fan.
Yeah.
Especially, like, you go to, like, a place like Oracle. Or not Oracle. Chase.
Chase Arena.
Chase Arena, whatever the hell it is. Not
the Chase Center.
Chase Center. Yeah, the not,
we got it.
The not third time. The not Roracle.
Yeah.
Because Roracle, like, it had its name because you, to be honest, you had a bunch of like lower class, you know, income people that
we've priced
just, like,
out. We've priced out the passionate fans being close.
Yeah. And then like those you had the diehards that came. Like that was like the thing that the family did that for that year. Mm-hmm. And so it was there was something I don't know, almost like Roman about it, like the Coliseum. Like it was almost visceral. Like that's what made, even when that team sucked, they were still packing it out. It was crazy. Scoot after the Dame game against Milwaukee. I remember talking to him in the locker room and he was like, man, I didn't know this place could get like this.
Yep. It gets loud.
And I just went, dude, that's not even close. Like when I was a kid and growing up in the stands here, you had to yell to the person next to you. And he was like, you can, like, it gets that crazy. I'm like, buddy, this was like a two.
Nothing. Like, nothing. Playoff games and motor are fun.
I'm like, you've got no idea. I'm like, hopefully you'll learn someday. But this place can get absolutely nuts.
I think what, like, minor league baseball should do, like the Hops, they're building a new stadium but out in Hillsboro.
Yeah.
Put a little section right near, like, I don't know, where the visitor's bullpen is or down the first baseline.
Yeah, deep first baseline.
You know, or third baseline. Because I think the Hops are in the first baseline.
Are they?
But wherever the visitor's bullpen is, they are on the you go and you put, just let college kids during the summer get discounted. Like, you could do a season pass.
School idea.
Just let them go wild.
Yeah. Now, None of the things that we've seen in the news, like throwing bananas on the field or anything like that.
Well, no.
You know.
No.
Let's park the racist stuff. But other than that, let's go.
That's a good bar to set, Danny. Yeah. Don't be racist. Don't be an idiot.
Those Balkan crowds.
Oh, I know.
Oh, they get bad.
It's really bad.
I mean, there's a couple teams that are from the region that have been banned from having fans at home games.
DL in on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Clippers' new stadium looks insane, coming from Deal.
Yeah.
And that's one thing Ballmer wants.
Yeah.
Ballmer made that place steep. Mm-hmm. He wants it to be loud.
It's made so that the sound refracts back to the floor the same way that Moda was originally designed, but
and
more advanced.
I think what he also has, though, is that dynamic seating where the earlier you show up, you can pay for a $300 price ticket, but if you get there early enough,
it's open.
You can be down. Mm-hmm. It's general admission. Mm-hmm. You could be close to the action. I'm in.
They have another section where the louder you are, if you're willing to put on a wristband or tracker kind of a deal in your area, the louder you are, the closer you can get.
And that's why Ballmer deserves to sit courtside. That man is a maniac.
He's literally just trying to make the game day experience and his home court advantage better.
Yeah.
I'm for that. Yeah. It was the track. I'm like, who cares, man? You're already being tracked anyways. Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm in. So we got Team USA basketball. They play Brazil 12:30. Other than that, do we have anything good today in the Olympics?
I'm watching handball.
God, I love handball.
Water polo.
Well, I mean, that's they're kind of the same thing.
Water handball?
One's just underwater.
Yeah,
when they go to the underwater camera, it's so terrifying.
I feel like handball should be more popular in the United States.
It should be. It's more. It's huge in Europe.
Yeah.
I'm convinced I could be pretty decent at it.
It's one that I convinced myself I'd be pretty good at.
But we're all wrong.
But it's the jumping.
Are we? I was pretty good in middle school PE.
No, it's the jumping still.
Yeah, it's the, because you get two steps, right? You get two steps. I still don't really understand the rules, but it looks like a fun game to play.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like a great game to play.
I mean, it's water polo without the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those underwater cameras, when they're doing water polo, you see it above and oh, that doesn't look that hard. And then they go to the underwater camera and you see the chaos that is ensuing under that water.
They're just fighting underwater.
Oh, dude, I've heard stories.
Try to drown your opponent and score goals.
I went to school with a woman who won a gold medal. And I remember talking to her, and she said, oh, yeah, no. She actually got suspended for getting in a fight with, I think she punched somebody from Team Canada?
That rocks.
Yeah, no, which is insane if you actually knew her. But they grow out their toenails.
Yeah.
And they just, just carve each other up. And I was like, oh, my God, what are you, kangaroos? What the hell?
Cutthroat. All right, we do have a local-ish gold. Cole Hawker has won a gold medal. In the 1500 meter,
Oregon guy, isn't he?
University of Oregon.
Yeah.
University of Oregon just won gold in the 1500 meters. And he came from behind. He was in third place as they came down the final stretch and he closed the gap and won. So,
good little kick.
Got a local ish angle to the gold medal there, huh?
I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. The men's Greco Roman in 60 kilogram has two bronze medalists. Did they draw?
I don't know.
You can draw in wrestling, can't you?
Yeah.
They don't have a sudden death?
I feel like they would go into sudden death.
Yeah. Isn't that the point of having first, second, and third?
Yeah. Maybe they just said, nah, we're good.
Boo!
Maybe we're good. I don't know what, that's North Korea and I don't know what the other country is, but you've been watching a lot of wrestling.
I do. I love Olympic wrestling.
I don't like watching wrestling.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I will say that I think that every athlete, young athlete, should wrestle at least 1 year.
It's one of the best things you can do for your balance and understanding leverage.
Leverage, balance. There's just if we're being quite honest, you learn a lot when you get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of lessons to be learned in just getting absolutely
thrown around,
dominated. Yeah. But at the same time, it teaches you a discipline. Mm-hmm. And you have to, leverage is the biggest one. Like, it translates to any sport that you play.
Mm-hmm.
Every youngster should wrestle 1 year in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may hate it, But you're going to learn.
You're going to learn from it.
You're going to learn from it.
It's the epitome of, boy, you're going to learn today.
You're going to learn today, son. All right. Let's get to the sports portion of the show. We got a lot that we need to get to. We've got anonymous scouts on the Blazers.
Hmm.
Ooh. Justin Herbert, his injury and what it means for the Chargers as we go on a little bit more. And then where we got to start this bad boy off, we've got a moving target, an update to the saga involving San Francisco and Brandon Ayuk. We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area with a report last night updating us to Brandon Ayuk and his status with the San Francisco 49ers. There have been developments and a little bit of progression as things have progressed today. Maiocco last night said that there are two players involved for the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes. As they have said, Ayuk's camp can go out and been granted permission to negotiate a deal with a new team on an extension, because we all know what he wants is an extension, but a trade is on the table. And the Browns and Patriots appeared to be the front runners as of last night. The Browns would be willing to send Amari Cooper to San Francisco along with a pick. The Patriots would be willing to send Kendrick Bourne to San Francisco along with a pick. But it would all hinge on Brandon Ayuk and his camp negotiating a new contract with the new team.
Mm-hmm.
In the report, the two teams that Ayuk had said he wanted to go to, Washington, watching game film and practice tape with Jaden Daniels this offseason, seemed like a dead giveaway right there.
Probably because they have a prior established relationship.
Maybe at Arizona State. Hmm. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was also a desired landing spot for Ayuk, for a reason I don't know.
Yeah, the team that doesn't have a quarterback that makes any sense for the foreseeable future. But, I mean, you're going to a culture that's winning, and you're definitely going to be the number one option.
You could get paid.
Yeah. Well, they don't pay offensive players.
The Commanders and Steelers last night were seen as out of the sweepstakes because the price was too high. Mm. A player and a pick too high for them at this point. Well, we have a development this morning. As it appears, the Pittsburgh Steelers are back in the conversation.
That part of it makes me believe that the 49ers do not, in fact, have a player and a pick as part of the deal, if all of a sudden the Steelers are back in it. Because it doesn't matter what the player and the pick is in New England or Cleveland if Ayuk's not willing to re-sign there.
Yes, and that's where it all hinges on. But It tells me the player and the pick are in play. He just doesn't want to go to either one of those spots. I don't know why he wouldn't want to go to Cleveland where you have Deshaun Watson. Amari Cooper would be gone. But you are in an offense that you know you would get the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
in Cleveland.
Chubb's going off of his knee being inverted.
You've got Jerry Jeudy and Elijah Moore and David Njoku.
You're definitely ahead of everyone.
But as other targets in the offense to where it alleviates a little bit of the pressure off of you to where not all eyes are on you all of the time.
Which in Pittsburgh.
You go to New England and everybody's going to go, Yeah, we got one guy we got to take away right now, and it's Brandon Ayuk because of the unproven nature of, you know, Jalen Polk being the a rookie wide receiver who is going to be more of a possession guy. They have Hunter Henry. You don't have a quarterback there either. And look, let's not act like Deshaun Watson has blown anybody's hair back and has looked anything like a viable target or a viable quarterback over the last couple of years. He has been such a roller coaster. It's you just shake your head and you go, I have no idea what they're going to do here. But New England has nobody. Pittsburgh, I guess you can squint and you can say as long as George Pickens is on that offense, a 1-2 punch of Pickens and Ayuk, that'd be hard to defend. That would be, and it alleviates a lot of pressure on your quarterback too, because then regardless you'd have Pat Freiermuth, George Pickens, and Brandon Ayuk. And Najee Harris that you're worried about, you would sit there and you go, I could see the framework there. But if San Francisco is hell-bent on getting a good receiver in return, I mean, the only guy that San Francisco would be interested in at this point would be George Pickens. So I have no idea what San Francisco is going to get in this, but I think what it does tell us is that we are so far down the road with the negotiations between San Francisco and Brandon Ayuk.
He's getting moved.
They are a hard line. We will pay you this, and you will either play on your $14.1 million this year on your last year of your rookie deal, or we're going to trade you at this point. Mm-hmm. And that's where Ayuk is. So right now, that's kind of the update with Brandon Ayuk is San Francisco is now willing to move him. He's just got to agree to a deal with his new team.
I think they are always willing to move him. And that's the thing about this. I mean, pretending like that wasn't the case. Like, no, it's remember the line was it's significantly more likely that he will be back with the 49ers than he will be traded. That line has literally been flipped on its head, where it is significantly more likely he will be traded than be back.
But you can't say it.
Well, I know. But I mean,
you know, that's leverage hell if you're we're going to trade him.
But I mean, it was very like you had 49ers media folks like, no, they're going to keep him. They're totally going to go. I'm like, come on, guys. But
he wants a number that they literally cannot afford any longer. And you're looking at a guy who doesn't want to play on the 14.1. So San Francisco is like, yeah, either you take the number that we give you or you play for that $14 million. Mm-hmm. Like that's all we can do at this point, because we literally cannot afford to give you any more money here, because Brock Purdy's coming up next year. You know you're going to pay him. And by the way, if you're Brock Purdy, you should be keeping an eye on every single one of these negotiations and say, whatever that top number is that you think you're going to get, you're not going to get it from him. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not.
Prepare yourself accordingly.
And it's already starting in San Francisco as Christian McCaffrey has calf strain and will not play in the preseason.
Burp.
That's not good.
Dicey.
That's not good that he's already dealing with a calf strain, because, look, as good as Christian McCaffrey is, as good as Deebo Samuel is, both of those guys, they get dinged up. And both of them got dinged up last year. And football is a war of attrition. And the best ability is availability, and if you can't stay healthy, you've got some issues. And now we're going to start looking at these guys who are getting a little bit longer in the tooth, taking so many hits because of how many carries McCaffrey has had over his career in both Carolina and now in San Francisco. You're trying to alleviate that workload on McCaffrey because you have Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk. But the reality is he's taken a lot of damn hits so far.
Yeah.
And you're paying him a lot of money.
I mean, that was always this 49ers team, though.
Risk reward of any NFL contract negotiation.
Hanging on by a thread.
But I think we're going to see it by the end of the week, because you have teams that are now motivated because they've gotten a chance to see their team, their receiving corps.
They know where their holes are.
In fall camp. You're going to go into week one of the preseason, and you have to pull the trigger on this deal very quickly because of the fact that the door is closing, right? To get a guy like Brandon Ayuk up to speed for week one of the regular season, you have got to get him into camp by the end of this week or the start of next week.
Yeah, I mean,
you have to.
Because it's not in the NBA or MLB where you can just be like, no, you figure it out. No. You need some time to build the rhythm. You need to build the relationships. Well, and you have to understand it.
You got to build chemistry with your quarterback. Mm-hmm. You have to learn the offense, which is going to be a new language no matter where you go, because the verbiage is different in every single offense. Concepts are going to be different in every offense that you run. And you've got to build that rapport. So I'm looking at this going, there's some urgency on every side of this, except for San Francisco's, right? San Francisco's the one that can just sit back and be like, we're going to be fine. Because will they be fine if they don't have Brandon Ayuk in their lineup this year?
I don't know. Are they going to take an injury or two? Because
they'll have Juwan Jennings. They'll have Kittle. They'll have Debo.
And
have McCaffrey.
Every one of those guys has missed games.
They will also have Ricky Pearsall, who's back and making plays apparently.
And didn't he miss all of the summer because of his hamstring?
He missed, I think he missed like 2 weeks of their mandatory minicamp.
I know, but before that, like, he didn't do anything. He was
No, that was mandatory minicamp.
I know that, but I'm talking about coming out of the draft. Wasn't he hurt coming into the draft?
I don't think so.
I'm almost certain that was the case.
Yeah.
My point being, their entire roster is a threat of getting hurt at any given time.
Isn't that everybody?
I don't know. I think if we ran a list of every roster in the NFL and their top four position or top four skill players, I would have a reeling suspicion that the 49ers have missed more time than pretty much any other team.
Yeah. It just seems like...
I mean, plenty of guys get banged up. It's the NFL. But
I think
like,
with Debo and McCaffrey, it's when they get dinged up is the biggest one.
Yeah.
Like Debo breaking his shoulder last year.
McCaffrey is just a guy who always gets dinged up.
Yeah. He's big, strong, and friggin' fast. Mm-hmm. He's twitchy. Twitchy guys get hurt, man. Twitchy guys get hurt. But there is some progress on the Brandon Ayuk movement, and it does appear more and more that there are teams willing to take him on. Duh. But framework for a New England, a Cleveland, and now potentially Pittsburgh getting back in the fray is in play. Dude is a very good wide receiver. I wouldn't throw more than $32 million at him per year.
I'm not giving any wide receiver $30 million. I can't.
It's the business right now, though.
And I should say, it's not the $30 million. It's the percentage of the cap that I just could not get.
I wouldn't give him that either.
No.
I wouldn't do it.
That's,
I think the 26 where San Francisco has been rumored to be at.
I think it's fine.
I think that is fine. I think that's a fine number for him, but when you think of the
$6 million
elite,
difference is such a massive, massive gap.
Is he a top 1% of NFL receivers?
No.
Those are the guys that get that money. And like Amon-Ra St. Brown, that's a dicey one in Detroit because they're giving him 30 plus million. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you better hope you guys can hold it together again this year because that could look like an egg on the face move if he gets dinged up.
Well, he did play with wasn't it a torn ab?
Yeah, a oblique.
Oblique, that's
messed up something in his foot, too. Had to wear a metal rod.
He's a tough son.
That's what I mean. That's a little bit different, I think. He didn't miss the time despite being very hurt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Coming up next, we've got an anonymous source. Oh, boy. This is quite the doozy here. And it involves the hometown team, the Portland Trail Blazers. Oh. That after Will with SportsCenter.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
We were talking last week about how the anonymous poll of GMs around the NBA, we're talking about rookies and how their careers are going to pan out and how their first year in the NBA. And I think you get some honest reactions from those anonymous polls, right? Where you can get a little bit of how they truly think without putting their name behind them about some guys. During that segment, we talked about how there's ways that you can do anonymous sourcing, right? And say anonymous things and do the anonymous reporting. This one seems a little bit out there. This is a report. I saw it on Dunk Central, which you have to make sure you're not getting Centel.
It's coming from Anthony Irwin.
Anthony Irwin covers the Lakers.
Yep. I know Anthony really well. I know his sourcing is good.
An anonymous NBA scout said, Joe Cronin, Trailblazers GM, asking for two first-rounders for Jeremy Grant is hilarious. Portland traded one first-round for him, and then they gave him that terrible contract. Why would he be more valuable now than he was when they landed him 2 years ago?
Well, it's pretty easy. One, he was on an expiring deal. Two, he was going to leave, and this is what the Pistons could get for him.
Yeah.
This is what facilitated it.
Fun.
The Blazers aren't trying to trade Jeremy Grant right now.
No,
the Lakers
and he is not,
want Jeremy Grant.
He is not demanding a trade either.
And that's why. You can find a scout to say whatever you want. And that we talked about this a ton during draft season. You can find, if you want to find a certain opinion on or evaluation of a player, well, you find a scout. There, each team has 7-8 scouts nationally, and they talk. They all talk. And it's if you want to go find an opinion on something, you can go do that. I know people in the league that think that Jeremy Grant isn't worth 2 first-round picks. And I know people in L.A. who very much think that. I also know that there are people in the league that are like, yeah, they shouldn't give him up for anything less than 2 first because they have the Lakers over a barrel.
Well, do I think Jeremy Grant is worth 2 first-round picks? No. Do I think that if a team is desperate and they need somebody, i.e. Lakers,
mm-hmm.
then yes, you hold him for 2 first-round picks because if you can get it, that is exactly what your job is if you're Joe Cronin, is to try to get 2 first-round picks. In addition to this, the terrible contract that Jeremy Grant has, if he will enter this year with 3 years and a player option remaining on his contract, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The average annual value of his contract right now ranks 44th in the NBA, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Entering this season, yes. 44th in the NBA. Also, 13th. Overall for all forwards in the NBA. When you go to the end of, and I won't even put the player option in this. So let's just go with the 3 years that he has remaining before that player option, which is this upcoming season and the two after that.
Mm-hmm.
If he's at 44th right now, with the salary cap going up the way that it is, where will Jeremy Grant's annual contract value be in your mind? Will he be top 60?
No.
In 3 years?
Just doing the math real quick. So I've talked to a couple team presidents around the league and some folks who have insight into where the salary cap is going to be with the new TV deal. It's going to go up the guaranteed 10% over the next 3 years. Like it's a variable rate, but it can go up to 10% on the salary cap. That's what it's going to do. And if you factor that in, the base rate right now is what, God, I can't remember. Salary cap's up 140, so going up essentially 14-ish million dollars a year, okay? Let's just use a 14 flat each year. So you're going up over $40 million in 3 years. Right now, Jeremy Grant...
To be split 15 ways.
Right now, Jeremy Grant's contract is just over 20% of the total salary cap. The last year of his deal, he's going to be at like 14%.
14% of the cap.
Of the total cap, which is nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
And that's where I look at it and you say, were they paying the freight early? Yeah, because they weren't trying to win. And
you need to get the salary floor.
Oh, by the way. You got to pay guys. Yeah, you have to get to that salary floor. And there's going to be so many guys that come up with deals before him where he's going to keep on climbing, or he's going to keep on falling as other guys climb up that salary ladder. And so that's why I look at it and I say, is it really that terrible of a deal for Portland if you are going to be sitting here looking at it going, he doesn't want to be traded right now. We needed to sign him to keep him. And then even if the Blazers do hold on to him past the start of the season and up to the trade deadline, or hell, even through this entire regular season, next year, the $32 million that his average deal is going to be pushing him down even further. I bet you by the start of next season, he's not even a top 50 paid player in the NBA mm-hmm. on annual average salary.
No, I don't, he won't be.
No. So I think there's a lot of factors that are at play here that sit there and go, okay, Was it a steep price? Yeah, when they signed it absolutely was. But you always have to look forward to what the salary cap is going to be doing, what the market will offer for
predicting
a guy
what
like
the adjustment
Jeremy Grant,
look like. Yeah.
And the fact that this anonymous scout is probably a scout for the Los Angeles Lakers. If the Lakers reporter is reporting this,
I mean, you can draw some lines pretty simply.
And then you sit there and you go, yeah, of course they want to suppress the value of Jeremy Grant because they know that they're desperate, and that's why Joe Cronin's asking for 2 first-round picks for him.
Yeah, And the other part of this that is interesting beyond Jeremy Grant is there is a move being done by media folks and anonymous sourcing about Jeremy Grant's injury history over the last 3 years,
ooh,
which I would beg one writer to do 1 ounce of work and go, I wonder why Jeremy Grant missed all those games.
Blazers weren't trying to win. I think that's the big one.
Sean
right
Devaney
there.
Of Heavy.com was, they said the Lakers are balking at the price tag for $160 million star. First of all, that's how they did the headline, which lets you know it's clickbaity as hell. But on top of that, he cited Jeremy Grant's various injuries and how injury prone he was. And it's like, I am begging somebody to do an iota of research. Because if I saw a guy had, you know, if a guy missed a bunch of games over 3 years, I'd go look, okay, what are the injuries and when do they occur? That's weird. Post All-Star break, they just start to just pile up.
Yep.
Out of nowhere.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
I don't understand. Healthy the whole rest of the year. This boom, the second the All-Star break hits. I don't understand. Like, is something in the water up there? You know, it's just, it's difficult. It's truly
all these
impossible.
Guys just, these injuries just really pile up. Yeah. That is a really good point, though, of a lot of these guys that now because I think what we do is we get so caught up in the guys who are on teams that matter,
mm-hmm,
that get injured regularly,
yeah,
and they're trying to win, and then all of a sudden they break down, and you're like, well, you know, Jamal Murray's a great example of this, right?
Yes.
Jamal Murray's kind of going through it right now, but his injuries aren't built the same as other injuries because, like, the Blazers literally cannot say, we're just going to shut Jeremy Grant down for the season for no reason whatsoever. We're going to shut Damian Lillard down for no reason whatsoever. They have to put a reason behind it. But then, you know, on the player end of it, they do get labeled with, oh, the guy's always hurt because he's missing all these games because of injury.
I mean, there's since 2022, he had no injury from 12/11/21 until 3/26/22. Year and a half without an injury. And then calf was the only thing cited from the end of March to close out the year.
Yeah, them's the breaks.
And then he had, he rolled an ankle, which everybody saw in the game, the beginning of November in 22. I remember that very clearly. He missed 2 games. He came back, and then he got run over. He landed awkwardly in his back. He missed a week for his back. After that, you have quad concussion, rest, quad concussion, back, quad, hamstring. And it's all like 1 month apart.
Maybe when the Blazers would like rifle off like 3 wins and then be like, all right,
shut him down. We need to make sure we relax it here.
Huh.
Interesting.
This will be, I hope the Blazers do get the 2 first-round picks, but
if they're conversation, taking D'Angelo Russell, there are.
The conversation around, you know, Joe Cronin asking too much. I think every Blazer fan should want your GM to ask for too much at this point in the season. You have it, especially for the Lakers. You have a team that is desperate right now. Now, if you get nothing for Jeremy Grant, then that's a bigger issue. But your GM asking for too much, that's exactly what Danny Ainge does.
Yes.
And what Danny Ainge does is he asks for the moon and waits until you get desperate enough to pull the trigger on it.
And that's the thing is the Lakers, what's been really funny is watching this juxtaposition right now between Lakers fans and the Lakers front office, because Lakers fans are watching Bron and AD play in FIFA and looking otherworldly, like, see, that's world championship caliber, which I'm all about. Yeah, fan base, talk yourself into believing that Bron and AD is enough for you to win a title because they're beating up on FIBA teams. Definitely. Definitely. That's what you should be doing.
There's, right, what, 65 NBA players playing in the Olympics this year?
Yeah, outside of the Team USA.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single team in the NBA
is an NBA player.
But
hey, you know. Noah Lyles was wrong. Winning an NBA title is harder.
Ooh. Let's get into that, because Noah Lyles, he may be using his muscle as the world's fastest man to get somewhere. Next on The Fan. God, I wish somebody would have told me when I was younger.
All bodies aren't the same. Photoshop, bitty, bitty. This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Turns out that Team USA is back to being really good. They're up 14 on Brazil with 9.5 to play in the first half, which means second quarter's just starting because they play 10-minute quarters. Hey, look at that, playing 10-minute quarters. You Weird. Should take notes, college basketball. Still the dumbest thing ever that they play halves. But Team USA is beating up on Brazil right now in Paris in the Olympics, as we have now reached, this is quarterfinal basketball. Win today, they're in the semifinals and on their way to another gold medal if things go their way. But Noah Lyles is the world's fastest man.
He is.
Do you remember when he called out the NBA and was like, hey, by the way, how can you guys call yourselves world champions when you don't compete against the best in the world? I think this was after he won the 100 in the world championships.
Yes, and we called him stupid then.
Yeah, we called him stupid then, but now he becomes the world's fastest man, and maybe he's onto something. Because Adam Silver has said that the NBA and FIBA are in conversations that have been, as he put it, much more serious about expansion into Europe and having the NBA with a footprint in Europe, with either a tournament or a league.
Yeah,
could you imagine?
I mean, they're going Super League.
If the FIBA holds their European championships, and then they say, okay, the NBA champ plays the FIBA champ
and gets absolutely mollywhopped.
It's just one game, boom,
yeah,
done.
It's a Champions League.
That's what
they're going for.
I would love that.
You'd probably take like the four teams from the two from each conference, the conference finalists.
Yeah.
To play in the Champions League. And then you'd have the Spanish ACB League. And then
they'd probably do it in an in season.
Probably the French League.
In season tournament type deal where during the NBA season they come over and they play the team from the NBA finals.
You'd do it in the 2 years in the off cycle from the Olympics, is what I would do.
Yeah.
Instead of doing like Champions League like every year, you do it like a biannual, or what do they call it? Yeah, biannual, every 2 years.
I don't know how long this would last for, though, because what would eventually happen is
the U.S. is just going to, the NBA teams are just going to mop.
They would absolutely embarrass the European teams, and it'd be like, all right. We already do it in the preseason. Like that Bundesliga team that's coming over to play the Blazers.
Yeah, Ratio Farm Ulm is going to come over, and they're going to get absolutely just walloped.
Well, I mean, I don't know yet.
No, they're.
I don't know yet.
The New Zealand Breakers came in. They lost by like 37 when they were playing the back end of the Blazers bench.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's nowhere near.
Well,
like, if you want to say like Real Madrid, they can hang.
Yeah, they could hang.
In a one game series, anything can happen. You can get hot from three.
I think we should see it.
But you're also talking about like, last year, 37-year-old Rudy Fernandez.
Yeah, that's brutal, dude.
Look, I love Sergio and Rudy. Fantastic. They're both a couple years younger than us.
Noah Lyles needs to be the guy who presents the trophy in this, though. Because in my mind, he's the one that started this. You know, how can you be a world champ if you don't even play everybody from around the world? I mean, he missed the mark on that, too, because all of the great players from around the world just come to the NBA and play.
Yes.
Just like Noah Lyles will go over to Europe and race in Golden Spikes meets in order to run against the fastest in the world. That's exactly what happens here, is they come to the States and they all play on the teams in the United States. I mean, when we have a player not named Arvydas Sabonis because he could not come over due to, I don't know, this little thing called the Cold War. Until we have a player opt to, I'm just going to stay and play my whole career, I'm not going to go to the NBA, then I think we can have this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, FIBA and the NBA.
We have yet to have the best player say no. Now, we've had a couple really good players go back. Sasha Vezenkov, who was the EuroLeague MVP.
Well, you just look at guys. I mean, Mario Hezonja, who a guy you brought up, Rudy Fernandez, another guy, Sergio Rodriguez.
Guys have all gone back.
They could have stayed in the NBA and had journeyman careers, but no, they said, "No, I'm going to go back.
I'm going to go overseas and be a god."
Yeah, and
like,
they are.
Like if Luka decided to stay and play for Real Madrid, that would be like the change.
Exactly.
If 17-year-old Luka's like, "I'm not going in the NBA draft."
Yeah. Until then,
Yeah.
I think we're out. All right, basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save money on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We start hour number two in the NFL. Justin Herbert's injury is lingering a little larger than we thought, and a surprise at third string next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.